Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from Jonah 1, verse 1 till 7, and I especially read the third verse, Jonah 1, verse 3, where we read as follows: But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The theme for the sermon is a disobedient prophet. 3 points of attention. The first point, God's command. The second point, Jonah's flight. And the third point, God's response. So, the theme is a disobedient prophet, 3 points of attention, God's command, Jonah's flight, and God's response. It happened that a person asked from William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army of Salvation, what the secret was of his ministry. And then he was thinking for a while, and well, tears came in his eyes, and he said, well, it was not that I was gifted more than others, or was more intellectual than others were. Others were gifted, talented more than I am. But, you know, when I saw those poor people in the streets of London, it came into my mind that the Lord would have all of William Booth. So there came a total obedience and dedication to the Lord in his heart, worked by the Lord. And that was the secret of his ministry. Yeah, isn't that true? Isn't that a very important thing in serving the Lord? That there will be that simple but unconditional obedience to the Lord. Whatever he would ask me to do, that would be right, that would be good. Although it could be different from what I would like to do. That's really a miracle, if we have such a disobedience and willingness in our hearts. And he received it. And this evening we have been reading about a prophet from God, and maybe a prophet that has been understood wrong many times. But, yeah, we see that this prophet became disobedient. And let's try to think about what happened in the life of this prophet when the Lord called him. It was 150 years after the disruption of the 12 tribes of Israel, the division, the split into 2 and 10 tribes. So it was 825 years before Christ was born, more or less, that this prophet Jonah lived. We don't know so much about him. We know that Jonah was the son of Amittai. And we one time find his name mentioned in the second book of Kings, at chapter 14, where he is prophesying to the people of Israel. There he seems to be willing to speak the word of the Lord to the people of God. And now we read in this small book of the prophet of Jonah, we read how the Lord was calling him. He had to speak and to go to the Gentiles. That's a totally different thing. The Lord called him, and it wasn't, you know, the Lord didn't pave his way by giving him a vision. It came all, it seems to come all at a sudden. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh,
that great city and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me.
Yeah. So he had to leave the people of God and he had to go to the Gentiles. Isn't that strange that the Lord is sending this servant to the pagans, to the heathen? It's not so very strange, because we remember that the Lord already told Abram that in him, in his seed, the nations would be blessed. Not only the people of Israel, but there would be a blessing going over the whole world. So it was a thing that was known in the Old Testament. And if you read the Psalms, you will find it, that the Gentiles will come to know the Lord. Although we don't find it so much that the Lord was sending his servants out of the land to go to them, to preach to them. It happened that they sometimes came to the Jews and were converted to the living God. So this history shows us that the Lord is sovereign. And that's a very important lesson in this history. The Lord is sending where he wants and when he wants. It's according to his counsel and plan. And he is free to do that. We remember that he didn't send a servant to warn the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. He only took Lot and his family out. But it wasn't the prophet going to those cities to preach. But here he does it. To his great city. And with a terrible wickedness. So terrible that the wickedness came up before God. Why did the Lord do that? Well, he's free to do that. He is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. He doesn't have to answer to us about it. No, he is not responsible to explain us. He is God. He is the God of the whole world. And here he is calling his servant Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Yeah, when you read this history, it reminds about what the Lord is saying to his people already in the book of Deuteronomy, where he said that he saw that his people moved him to jealousy by serving idols. And then the Lord said, well, and I will provoke them to anger with the foolish people. He would send his word to a foolish people, to the heathens, the Gentiles, instead of to the people of the covenant, to provoke them to anger. Isn't that what we see happening here? So the Lord is not giving an account, and there's no need for him to do it. What we see is that the Lord is making it very clear that this is not an easy thing for his servant to do. He says it's a great city and it's a wicked city. The Lord is making it clear that it was a difficult thing for his servant. And indeed it was. The historians, they describe the city. It was really a great city, children. Do you know how great it was? It was a strong city. It was the capital of, you could say in that time, it was a world empire, Assyria. And then the capital was Nineveh. And that city had such strong walls. It was huge, almost unbelievable. Those walls, they were high. They were 100 feet high. And they say on top of those walls they could drive 3 chariots along each other.
so high and wide. And there were 1,500, so 1,500 towers to protect the city. And those towers, they are not 100 feet high like the walls, but they are 200 feet high. Unbelievable. What a city. And there he has to go. And you know how many people there were? We read in the last chapter, 60 that do not know the, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. So commentaries explain that's about the children. So only 60, so 120,000 children. And if you count about it, people, commentaries say, well, then we are talking about a people of a 2 million in that city. And probably also pastures in that city, because there's a lot of cattle in the city. And also much cattle, it says at the end of this book of the prophet Jonah. And they say that there were 1.4 million men working for 8 years to build this city. And that was possible in that time because they made a lot of slaves by conquering other people and countries. They made them slaves. So 1.4 million men working for 8 years to build this huge city. And it's a city with a terrible wickedness, so that it came before the Lord. And now there, the Lord is sending one man. Probably a city with a lot of violence. And people become proud about their security. And they do not fear the living God. Then we will violence in us. We'll find violence in a society. And there Jonah has to go. And he has to tell them, well, 40 days and this city will be destroyed. What do you say? This city? We don't see an army around the city. This strong city destroyed in 40 days. Are you crazy? Are you mad? You really believe what you say? We will learn you. It would be a dangerous job, wouldn't it? Humanly spoken. What the Lord is asking here from his servant. Yeah, and still the Lord is giving this command. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. That's the first point. That's the command of the Lord. Yeah. What we can learn is that the Lord is not making life easy for his children and for his servants. And that he is requiring obedience. And Jonah isn't obedient. He is disobedient. Why was he? Why was Jonah disobedient to this command of the Lord? Then we come to our second point, Jonah's flight. What was the reason? What would you think, children? What was the reason that Jonah did go the other direction? But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. What does that mean, from the presence of the Lord? Can you go anywhere from the presence of the Lord? Is the Lord not the omnipresent God? He's everywhere. So, what does it mean when there's written that he is fleeing from the presence of the Lord? Well, when you search scripture, you can read that about Cain. He was, after he killed his brother and the Lord had spoken to him, he left from the presence of the Lord. The Lord is omnipresent. So we have to understand that he left that place, how simple it might be, but that place where those early people living on earth were serving the Lord, bringing sacrifices like he had done with his brother. And that place where they came in the presence of the Lord to bring a sacrifice, he was turning his back to that place. And we can read that word of the presence of the Lord about the promised land that the Lord had given to his people, or especially the city where the Lord was served, Jerusalem, where the temple was, where the Lord was. And then we can especially think about the ark and the covering of the atonement on the ark, upon the ark. It was the seat of mercy, we could say, where the Lord was present among his people. When we read that Jonah is fleeing from the presence of the Lord, that means he is leaving the land of Israel, the promised land that the Lord had given to his people. So Jonah is choosing exile instead of being obedient to the Lord. There was so much resistance inside to this command of the Lord that he is choosing to leave this good land where the Lord was showing his presence and to going into exile, to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There it is repeated. It's a sad verse if you read it. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. A servant of the Lord turning his back to the presence of the Lord in disobedience. Why is he doing that? Is he afraid to speak? Like we read from Moses, he said, well, I cannot speak. Or Jeremiah said, well, I'm young, I cannot speak. But if that was the case, he could have put it before the Lord and say, oh Lord, I cannot do it. Oh Lord, help me. So that would be a solution to that thing. Oh, that's not what we see in the life of Jonah, that he is afraid to speak. Oh, is he afraid for his life in that wicked city? Is he afraid to be scorned, to be despised of preaching in that city? And that could be, but we do not have that impression from Jonah, so that's probably not the case. Because, you know, at the end of the book of Jonah, when he is seeing that they convert, then he said, it's better for me to die. And when they are in the storm on the sea, then he says to the mariners, he says, well, cast me into the sea, and the sea will become quiet from you. So, now, it's not the fear of death that we find in him to go to that violent city with such a difficult message. Was it that he was not convinced that the word of God had to go to the heathen, to the Gentiles? Like we see in the New Testament that the apostles really struggled with that thing, that the Lord would send his word to the Gentiles. It was difficult to them. He had to give a vision to Peter to make him go to Cornelius. Was it that? Well, we do not see that written in this book. So what is the reason that he is fleeing? That he is going away from the presence of the Lord. When we read at the end of the book of Jonah, we find an answer. There in chapter 4,
then we see that the Lord was not destroying that city. And then Jonah is speaking. So we have to listen to his private prayer, you could say, to find out what was the matter with this man. And sometimes we can be fast to judge. But if we would hear the private prayer of persons, we would change our opinion. So he says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. That's reason. He knew at forehand that the Lord is a gracious God and merciful. And that is why he fled unto Tarsus. He knew that when I'm going to preach there, oh, the Lord is going to show his grace. That's wonderful. If we are serving the Lord, and that's not only a thing of a pastor, but we all are called to share the word where we can. If we have expectation of the Lord. If it's in our heart that we say, well, I know that the Lord is gracious and merciful. And when I preach the Lord, even if it is to wicked people, the Lord is going to be gracious unto them. What an expectation in his heart. But that made him to decide to flee from the face, from the presence of the Lord. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. So he didn't like that the Lord did not put his wrath upon this city to destroy them. Then the question comes up, with why did he not like it? And we could think about two reasons. The one reason could be that he saw the danger of this mighty world empire Assyria, that it would overcome, conquer the people of Israel, and that has happened later on. And that could be a reason that he was afraid for his people. But I saw also another reason that can be there. That he was afraid that when I preach that the Lord is going to destroy the city, and then the Lord is going to be gracious unto them when they repent, oh, what are they going to think about the word of God, about God and about his servant? That the Lord is not doing what he was preaching to them. He had to preach that the city would be destroyed. And now when the Lord is going to be gracious, going to repent about that evil that he thought to do them, what will they say about the Lord? Yeah. And if we think about that reason, and that could be a very, you could say, a reason that seems to be a holy reason, that he is concerned about the glory of God. What will the Gentiles say when the word of God is preached and it's not coming? Yeah. But still, there is not a reason for him to be disobedient to God. He could have had that struggle inside that made him resist. That fear that they would say, well, you see, this word is not coming. But if you think about that other man of God, about Abraham, who got a
command of God to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Oh, what would be said about the Lord if he would do that? But Abram was not disobedient. He was obedient to God. What we can learn from this history is that there can be things in our hearts that seem to be in favor of the honor of God. But if we are disobedient, then it's still wrong. We should not be wiser than God. And how is that in our lives? Do we have that unconditional obedience to God? And to be obedient, even in those difficult circumstances that Jonah came in, we need to trust the Lord, like Abram did. And he was thinking, well, if I have to kill my son, the Lord is able to make him alive again. If we have so much trust in the Lord, faith in the Lord, then there will be a childlike obedience to God. Yeah. But Jonah is not obedient. And he found a ship. There's another lesson. Sometimes when we resist the will of God, the command of God, it can be that we think, well, maybe it's good what I'm doing, because it's going easy. He found a ship. It seemed not too difficult for him to leave the presence of the Lord. So yeah, you see, sometimes people would even say, well, the Lord is providing in things that are not according to the will of God. So that's an important lesson. We cannot make a conclusion from how easy things go if it is according to the will of God. We should carefully listen to the word of God, to the command of God, to know his will. And then it can be that there are many difficulties when the Lord is calling us to do a thing. There are many hindrances, and still it's the way of the Lord. It's the will of the Lord. And it can be that the things that are against his will go smooth for a certain time, like they go here in the life of Jonah. There he goes from the presence of the Lord. It seems to be right, because the ship is already laying there, but it was wrong. I remember there was someone in the service of the Lord, and he was going to travel, and there was a storm, so the ship couldn't leave. And then people said, well, don't you think it's wrong that you should go? He said, no, I'm sure it's right, because Satan doesn't like it. So that's nice if you think about that. That he was even more certain about the calling of God, because he knew Satan will try to stop things where the Lord is working. And there he goes in a ship to Tarshish. But what will the Lord do? That's our third thought. God's response. When he is in that ship. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. It must be a terrible storm. If those people that were used to the sea were afraid. And God is showing his might and giving this great storm, so that there might be an understanding that he is against this, what
Jonah is doing. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea.
It's not saying there's a wind arising, but it says the Lord sent out a great
wind into the sea. So it's the hand of the Lord that is doing it. That is true. When there's a storm, whatever there might happen in nature, it is the hand of the Lord.
And there's a storm, or an earthquake, or even smaller things, it's all the hand of the Lord. Nothing happens without His godly hand.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broke. This is really a special thing. And those mariners, they understood this is something of God's. Yeah, they understood it. Those Gentiles, they were afraid and cried every man unto his God.
It is showing us that everybody has that inward knowledge that he or she is created for someone above them, for God.
Those Gentiles, they know there is a God, although they don't know God. And they know that a God can change things. They start to cry out, cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. So they know there is a God. That's good. But oh, they don't know how to pray. They don't know Christ. They do not have the right spirit in their hearts to pray. It seems they understand when we continue to read that you can do something wrong so that God or a God will be angry with you. But they don't know the holiness of God. They don't know His eternal wrath. They don't know the need of atonement by His own Son, by the blood of Christ. There can be some, and there will be some knowledge among the Gentiles. But oh, what a need there is for the preaching of Christ everywhere in this world. And you see what they start to do? They throw out the wares in the ship. All those costly things that they were very careful about before, now they throw them away. Why? Because it's about their life. Everything a man has, he will give for his life. But why do we have to come in danger of our life before we understand the right value of things? Before we understand how important our life is, our soul is, more important than all the things of this world. And they throw it into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. How do we have to explain that? Yeah, it's easy to say, well, he's careless, he's sleeping. He's fast asleep. But if you think a little bit more about it, you will probably understand it. Here is a child of God. Here is a servant of God, called by the Lord, and having so much resistance inside that he is disobedient to the Lord. What an inward struggle, isn't it? If you know the Lord, if you know His will, and you sin by resisting His will, that's exhausting. That's really draining all your strength, isn't it? If the Lord has been working inside in your heart, you know how good it is to walk with the Lord, and you go out of His presence, It's hard. That's taking your strength. And there he lays, fast asleep, this servant and child of the Lord.
So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.
There's the shipmaster coming. Could say there's the world coming to the church. And the world is rebuking the church. The church had to go to the world to rebuke them. Jonah had to go to Nineveh, to rebuke them, to cry against them. And now they cry against him, the Gentiles. That's terrible. Did you ever experience such a situation? There was resistance against the will of God. You sinned against God in rebellion. And you spill your strength instead of serving the Lord. Oh, what a lost opportunity. If you compare Jonah to Paul, Paul was in a terrible storm on the sea and the ship was shipwrecked at the end. That was different. Because Paul, he said, be of good courage. Because none of us will lose his or her his life. He gave a testimony about the power and faithfulness of God. And Jonah is asleep. His strength was gone in fighting against God. And now the world is coming and rebuking him instead that he rebuked the world. Oh, how ashamed we have to be if we experience that. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So it can be that a child of God is made ashamed by the world, that they in a certain way behave better than he or she does that knows the Lord. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. They see a connection between evil and what they do. Although they don't understand how God is, how holy God is, and how merciful God is. But they see that you can do things that make you experience the anger of God. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And there he is. Now he has to admit and to confess. And when we read this, maybe the question comes up, well, how do we think about that? Is it allowed to cast lots? Is it allowed to use that as a way to find something out? To make a decision? We find it sometimes in Scripture that they cast lots. And we could say there could be a situation that is so hard that we really do not have the wisdom how to decide. I read an example of a general, a leader of an army, and it was a very dangerous task that had to be done. And a certain part of the army had to be sent there. But which part? Because probably many of them wouldn't return alive. So how could he choose? And then he was casting a lot to get a decision out of the hand of God. So it could be done in a God-fearing way, but we shouldn't do it too easily. And we all will be in agreement that it's wrong when we gamble for money. by casting lots. Maybe there are some things between those two examples that you say, well, is it allowed then or is it not allowed? And yeah, you can have those questions about practical situations in life. And we have to say, Scripture is not a book with all answer in a mechanical way, with all answers to all our questions. There can be a many practical questions in life. I read about a pastor who received a call to another church, another congregation, and he really didn't know what to do. He was praying about it, and he was reading a scripture, and it stayed to be dark in his heart and mind. He didn't know an answer. And some would say, you know, when it's dark, you cannot go. What he did is, he wrote two letters. One accepting the call, and one not accepting the call. And then he put them both in his pocket, and he went to the mail, and he took one of them, he didn't know which one, and at home he opened the other one to find the will of God. Well, that could be a way. But there are not always answers to all practical situations in life. Why not? Why not? Why is there not a long list in Scripture to answer all our practical questions? How do I have to teach my children? What can I allow them to do and what not? If I would have a book, a long list with all things that are allowed and things that are not allowed, it would be easier. Well, isn't this the reason that the Lord wants us to walk with Him? Not in a mechanical way, just to take a list and get the answer, but in a living relationship of faith. In a living way, that we live so near to the Word, that we live so near to God, that we will know His will by prayer in most situations. And sometimes it can be really seeking, searching and praying and to find an answer. Isn't that good? Isn't that a very nice thing to seek the will of God in His Word? So the Lord wants us to live so near to Him, to receive so much of His Spirit, that we will get more and more of an understanding of His will and an obedience in our heart of His will, so that we cannot do without the Lord any day. I read a book. About a Muslim lady. I think the title is I Dare to Call Him Father. And it really touched me that she lived in such a way after her conversion to Christianity that she was alone, you know, her husband had left her, she was divorced, he had another wife, but she lived with the Lord. And when she did a thing that she didn't trust the Lord, she experienced that the presence of the Lord was leaving her. And yeah, I think we have to think more about that. Is this a thing that I can do and stay in the presence of the Lord? Is this a thing that I can allow my children to do without doing harm or damage to their soul? What a good thing if we live such a life. And we are so careful and so concerned about not losing the presence of the Lord. Not doing like Jonah, to go away from the presence of the Lord. That you will immediately be aware, this is wrong. He must have felt it, but he continued. And he said, as soon as I experienced that I left the presence of the Lord, oh, I knelt down and I confessed. and I asked for forgiveness, and the Lord returned. Now then, that comforting presence of the Lord came back. Oh, that we all might live such a life, to the glory of God, to the salvation of others, to the comfort of our souls. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, gracious God, we are rebels by nature, and after grace, we can do like Jonah, go out of thy presence, O Lord. We do it so many times. O, give us a sensitive heart, a soft heart, by the work of the Spirit, that we will be aware about thy will, to live so near to Christ that we will understand more and more the spirit of the word, what thy will is, O Lord, and that many times will mean that we have to crucify our own self, our old nature. And Lord, but how good it is to get rid of that old nature more and more, that self-centered, sinful nature. And how much trouble we bring when we resist thee, how much we exhaust ourselves, we drain our strength by sinning, losing opportunities to give a testimony, made ashamed by the world, rebuked by the world. They watch us carefully, but oh, sometimes we make it so easy to them to rebuke us, to dishonor thy name because of our lives. Oh Lord, forgive us. We thank thee for thy word, and that we might see how willing Christ was to come to this world with much more violence than Nineveh ever could have. And that he came to save a sinner, that he died at a cross, which made enemies to think that they had victory over him. But, O Lord, that was the way to have victory over Satan, death, and sin. That we will know thee more, O blessed Savior. Come into our hearts, make us full of thy Spirit, and make us to hate sin, turn our backs to the world and the pleasure of this world, to receive the joy of heaven. Be with us when we go home, protect us and help us, O Lord, in all the things that we have to do. Thou art so worthy to receive all the glory, the honor and the praise. We pray it all for Christ's sake. O Lord, we also pray for the family Remain, where Mrs. Remain passed away Tuesday morning. We pray that thou would comfort this family in this loss, and that thou would strengthen them in those days of mourning, and especially when the funeral will be there, that thou would use this loss for good for their souls. Lord, thou art able to do that. It's such a voice of calling also for us, that life is so short and that we are so weak. Oh, that we all will be prepared for the day that we have to stand before thee. Lord, we pray it for Christ's sake alone. Amen.